This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Last time we came here, there was a couch, there was a table, it's gone. No, that doesn't matter. This means, yani, quickly, don't take long. Inshallah. Tamam. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to accept our gathering. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward whatever efforts we have put through this blessed month of Ramadan. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our shortcomings, our sins, and to accept from us all. My brothers and sisters in Islam, tonight or this morning, the lecture is titled "The Effect of the Quran in the Life of a Muslim," or in our lives. Because most definitely the Qur'an, not only does it have an effect on the believer, but it also has a powerful effect on a disbeliever as well. Every disbeliever that accepted Islam in one way or another, it was because of an ayah, because of a hadith, because of a teaching in Islam that came from the Qur'an. Isn't that right? Every single disbeliever that accepted Islam came into Islam, and the reason was an ayah. One ayah, half an ayah, a word in an ayah. And this is enough to prove to us that the Quran has a powerful effect on the hearts. And why not? Since this is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the word of Allah azza wa jal, the word that Allah Azza wa Jal spoke this word to Jibreel alayhi salam, and Jibreel would take this word from the arsh and he'll travel down through the paradise all the way until he reaches the heavens, which are the skies. Then he travels through the seven skies. Then he comes all the way down until he reaches the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he mounts his heart and he delivers the ayat to him. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, نَزَلَ بِهِ الرُّوحُ الْأَمِينَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُنذِرِينَ. What surah is that in? Surah al-Shu'ara. Allah Azza wa Jal would say that Jibreel would give this Qur'an, he would descend onto the heart of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would give him this Qur'an. لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُنذِرِينَ بِلِسَانٍ عَرَبِيٍ مُبِينٍ. So there is no doubt the Qur'an has an effect on each and every single person's life. And we are in the blessed month of Ramadan. And the Qur'an is something special in Ramadan. There is no doubt. We all know this. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. See how the two are tied, Ramadan and Qur'an. It's the month in which the Qur'an was revealed. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ is in Ramadan, and that's another mention of the Qur'an and Ramadan together. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ. We sent it down in a blessed night. That blessed night is Laylatul Qadr. And once again, this is the third time now in the Qur'an, we see a mention of the Qur'an and Ramadan together. When the hadith Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he narrates and he says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana ajwad an-nas. He was the most generous when it came to good, not only money, but in knowledge and advice and whatever it is that he gives the people of goodness. Kana ajwad an-nas. وَكَانَ أَجْوَدَ مَا يَكُونُ فِي رَمَضَانَ حِينَ يَلْقَاهُ جِبْرِيلُ فَيُدَارِسُهُ الْقُرْآنَ. And he was most generous in Ramadan when Jibreel would visit him and study the Qur'an with him. Once again in the hadith, we find a relationship between Ramadan and the Qur'an. This is what Jibreel would do. This is the activity he would do with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yudarisuhu al-Qur'an. Yudaris. What does yudarisuhu mean? To teach, to study. The word yudaris, it comes from darrasa. And this is an actual, it's a machine. It's called a midras. They used to get the wheat seeds, and they would put it between two stones. And then they would turn the machine around in a circular motion. And what it would do, it would crush the stone. It would crush the seed. The stones would crush the seed, the wheat seed, in between the stones, and it would become powder. That in Arabic is called a midras. Right? So yudarisuhu, meaning he would study with him the Qur'an, ayah, in detail. Uyudaris, because of the alif in the middle, yudaris, it means that it is coming from two sides, two parties. Meaning Jibreel would recite, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite back. But anyway, the idea is that in the hadith, there is a mention of Ramadan and the Qur'an. So now we really know. And we've established, and it's firmly grounded within our hearts and our minds, that there is an intricate relationship between the Qur'an and a firm relationship between the Qur'an and the blessed month of Ramadan. And during Ramadan, the obligation is to fast. Fasting, of course, from the greatest desires on earth. What is the greatest desire on earth? Do you know? No. Woman. He's thinking about woman at 2 o'clock in the morning. Anyone can help us? Food. Food, ya akhi. A person, and if you are starving, and we put food, or put a woman, what are you going to look at? Food. Food is the greatest desire on earth. It's enough to know that the reason for why Adam alayhi salam came down to earth was food. This is the greatest desire on earth. Food and drink. People eat and drink more than they have relations with women. And this is even if a person was married or he wasn't married. Right? So food is the greatest of desires. And during the day, we're being taught that it is an obligation, a command from Allah to keep away from the greatest of desires on earth. Why? Of course, there are many reasons, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, to increase التَّقْوَى, so that you can be aware and conscious of Allah Azza wa Jal, to say to yourself and to learn that if I am supposed to keep away from that which is halal, then I'm definitely supposed to keep away from that which is haram. These are the lessons that you're learning through Ramadan, because Ramadan is a school. But above the list, when you're fasting, the body has been deprived of nourishments to it, food and drink. So the body is starving. It's deprived of all of that. And the second part that makes you up is a soul. So you have a body and you have a soul. The body is starving. The body is fasting. It can't eat, it can't drink, it can't enjoy anything. Keep away from all of that. Now, the soul has a chance to rise. The soul has a chance to rise. And the soul has a chance to discover new limits and new experiences. This is why the fasting person in the Quran was referred to as what? There's a special name for the fasting person in the Quran. Who knows? It's in Surah At-Tawbah and it comes also in Surah At-Tahrim. What's the common word between the two surah? Allah describes the fasting person with one word. Huh? Ahsant. Jazakallahu khairan. As-sa'ihun. You know the word as-sa'ihun? How does the beginning of that ayah start? Yalla, quick. At-ta'ibun al-abidun al-hamidun as-sa'ihun. What surah is it in? Surah At-Tawbah. Where is it in the other surah? Yalla, memorizing Quran here, that's what I was told. Shada Ali. What's the other ayah? Asa rabbuhu Continue. عسى ربه إن طلقكن يبدله أزواجا خيرا منكن مسلمات مؤمنات قانتات تائبات عابدات سائحات. السائحون are the fasting people. But the word سائحون, it comes from سياحة. سياحة literally means tourism. That's what it means. A tourist is a سائح. The idea is that when the body is deprived of food and drink and sexual relations, the soul has a chance to be a tourist. The soul has a chance to travel. And you know, a tourist, when a tourist travels with his body to another country, what do people like doing as a tourist? Try the new food in that country, enjoy the unique experiences that country offers, and so on. That's what a tourist does when he's there with his body in a new country that he's never stepped foot in. He likes to discover new places, caves, mountains, valleys, waters, oceans, whatever it is. That's the idea for the soul. Now that the body has been caged from its greatest desires, the soul has a chance. It has a chance to be a tourist. And just like a tourist, the soul now is going to discover new relationships with Allah Azza wa Jal. It's going to discover new relationships with the Quran. The Quran is going to have a great effect on a soul during the month of Ramadan as a person is fasting. Wallahi, I tell you this. If you notice from your own self, you do this own experiment for your own self. When you read Quran during a day in which you're not fasting, is it the same as reading the Quran during a day in which you're fasting? Wallahi, for the one who's noticed this, it is not the same. Reading the Quran when you're not fasting is a different experience to reading it when you are fasting. When you're fasting and when you're hungry, and when you're understanding what you're reading, this is a different level. And so this is why during this month of Ramadan, as we are living its days, it's all Quran during the day, or at night Quran, or we're here for al-qiyam, Quran, right? It's all about the Quran in Ramadan. Well, there are people that have already finished the Quran, Allahu A'lam, how many times. There is someone I know in Lakemba. He finishes the Quran every 2 days. Wallah. Well, I know him. And he's an old man. Well, may Allah Azza wa Jal accept from him. Every single Ramadan, he finishes the Quran in 2 days. Allahu A'lam. People around the world, how many times have they read the Quran? The idea is this is the month of Quran, right? Wherever you go, everyone's got a relationship with the Quran. Someone's listening, someone's reading, someone's asking. Someone is asking, how do I read the Quran? Do I get reward if I read the Quran in English? Everyone is concerned for the Quran, right? This is the month. Now, so the idea is this is the month of Quran. And there is no doubt that at the end of the day, we want to ask a big question. The bigger question that we're supposed to ask is, what effect did the Quran have upon you during this entire month of Ramadan? We're coming towards the end now. All this month, and all the Quran you read, and all the Quran you heard, is there one ayah that touched your heart? Is there one ayah between you and yourself you can say that this affected me? This is the real question when it comes to our relationship with the Quran in Ramadan. Not the questions that people usually ask. People ask always fiqh related questions and they avoid the spiritual type of questions, which is the actual purpose of the Quran. People are asking, what's the reward for reading the Quran? Ooh, can I read the Quran in English? How about transliteration? Can I stand and hold the mushaf and read? All that is good. We need to teach. People need to know what's halal and what's haram. But above all this, the real question is, which ayah in the Quran that you read or you heard or you came across that had a powerful impact on you? It changed the way you now talk to people. Or it changed your behavior. Or it changed your attitude. Or maybe it changed your perspective about this worldly life. Or it changed your understanding about Allah's mercy and forgiveness. or it increased in your good thought of Allah Azza wa Jal during a moment of calamity and difficulty. This is what the Quran does. This is what the Quran does. At the end of the day, the Quran is a book of guidance. This is what it is. You know, people that have memorized the Quran often would continue to read the Quran and they say, I have a wird and I got to read a juz a day. And why? So that I don't forget it. But the Quran is more than this. It's more about, I'm reading so I don't forget. I'm reading so that I can retain what I have memorized. We read the Quran so that we are guided by its ayat. Forget your memorization and I'm going to forget and so on. Don't get busy with this. The matter is, when we read the Quran, ultimately we're reading it because every ayah is a direction. It's a road to Allah Azza wa Jal. It increases in our guidance. How many times over and over in the Quran does Allah Azza wa Jal refer to the fact that the Quran is guidance? From the very beginning. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This book, there is no doubt in it. هُدًى, هُدًى. That tanween, you see that tanween, hudan, that tanween للتعظيم, it implies greatness. يعني a great guidance for the muttaqeen, for the righteous. And do you notice something? Hudan للمتقين. What is the purpose of fasting in the ayah of يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام لعلكم تتقون. So fasting increases your taqwa. Surah Al-Baqarah at the beginning, Allah is saying, the only people that will benefit from the guidance of the Quran are the muttaqeen. You see that? Fasting is increasing your taqwa, and those that are going to benefit from the guidance of the Quran are the muttaqeen. So every day you're fasting, your taqwa is increasing, you should be able to absorb the Quran even more. And you're supposed to extract guidance and wisdom from the Quran even more. Because fasting puts you on a path of taqwa. Well, Quran, its guidance is for the muttaqeen, for the people that are fasting. This needs to be a question with each and every single one of us. Which ayah touched your heart? Allah Azza wa Jalla in the Quran, He says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِّن رَّبِّكُمْ وَشِفَاءٌ لِّمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةٌ لِّلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Once again, Allah calling out to mankind, informing them and telling them that within this Quran there is guidance. Allah Azza wa Jalla in Surah Al-Ma'idah, An-Nisa, He says, قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ يَهْدِي بِهِ اللَّهِ. A Quran has come down from your Lord, a clear book, and it guides the one who is seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. It guides. This is what the Quran does. It guides. So what is the ayah that changed the way you talk, the way you behave, your attitude, something about Allah? There should be an ayah. And I have 10 minutes left. I'm going to share with you something personal so that we can implement the theory that I've been speaking to you about. Every single year, yani this is since 4 or 5 years ago, I made it a mission of mine. And I share this in the purpose that inshallah, yani you'll be able to navigate this and move along yani with this kind of approach. Every single year for the last 5 years, I say that I want to listen to the Quran in Ramadan and I want to monitor which ayah in the Quran really touches me in a way that the other ayah did not. Every single year I do this. And I actually enjoyed this now for the last 3 years, because the last 3 years I haven't been in Australia, so I haven't prayed imam anyway. I've been led, so I pray behind and there's an imam. And I've actually enjoyed it because it gives me a better chance now to listen and to see and engage with the ayat. I'm talking to you like this because I'm thinking majority here, inshallah, there's a relationship with the Quran, bi-ithnillah, students here, the next generation program on memorizing the Quran. May Allah Azza wa Jal reward you and increase you all. But have this in your mind. So let me share with you this year. An ayah that, yani, wallahi, I would not be wrong to describe what it did to me in the same manner Jubair ibn Mut'im radiallahu anhu describes a specific ayah and what effect it had on him. But I'll tell you first, Jubair ibn Mut'im, what happened to him? He walked in, it was about Maghrib time, and he entered Mecca, and he was still a kafir, a disbeliever. He entered Mecca, and he heard the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leading the prayer, Maghrib, imagine this. And he heard the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reciting from Surah At-Tur, أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ أَمْ خَلَقُوا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بَلْ لَا يُوقِنُونَ. This is the ayat, often they come discussion with the atheist. أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ. Were they created from nothing, or did أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ, or were they the creators themselves? أَمْ خَلَقُوا السَّمَاوَاتِ, or did they create the heavens and the earth? Because if humans created the heavens and the earth, then that means خلاص, case solved, and that means they created themselves. But of course, it was none of these possibilities, which keeps us with the fourth possibility, and that is that Allah Azza wa Jal is the creator. But the idea is this. Jubair, a kafir at the time, he said, Kada qalbi yatir. He said, my heart was about to fly out. And I always know this narration, but I don't know, what does it mean that his heart was about to fly out? Until what I experienced at the beginning of this month, with an ayah I heard, perhaps his heart was about to fly out of excitement and joy and happiness. Maybe that's the missing part that I never came across. Because what the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam read, perhaps it answered the most difficult question in his life. And that is, who created us? And he was a kafir. And right afterwards, he accepted Islam. So no doubt, to me, when I read this hadith, his heart was about to burst and fly out of happiness and joy in celebration of Allah's word for the guidance that one ayah, two ayah brought into his life and changed his life dramatically until the day he died. And I was in Mecca and we're praying on the roof. And this is an ayah, of course, for a person who has memorized the Qur'an, reads the Qur'an, you hear these ayat every single day. But this time I heard an ayah in such a way, I had never ever heard it before. I could say that my heart was about to burst and fly out of happiness and joy. Yani, I wanted... I wanted to look around me and said, did you understand what Allah just said? Did you hear that message? But this is a message that needs to travel the entire globe. Everyone needs to know about this ayah, and right now they need to know about it. And that ayah was in Surah Al-An'am. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he said, وَإِذَا جَاءَكَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِآيَاتِنَا فَقُلْ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ أَنَّهُ مَنْ عَمِلَ مِنْكُمْ سُوءًا بِجَهَالَةٍ ثُمَّ تَابَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. الله أكبر. What an ayah. Why did it connect with me, especially in this month? Because in this month, this Ramadan, I received an abundant amount of calls and messages from many people that wanted to find their way back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very unusual. At least for me, I've never experienced anything like this in this amount. Message, calls, I see someone, he doesn't know the word tawbah, but what he's speaking about is tawbah. But that's how far away from Islam he is. He says that we want to pray and you know, like forgiveness, inshallah. He doesn't know the word at tawbah. I said, but like tawbah. He said, what's that? Repentance. Yeah, go back to Allah and implement His laws. And he said, that's it. He doesn't know the word tawbah. Is there a solution? He's asking, is there a way? Can I do anything? And this is why this ayah, because this ayah is exactly what these people need. And what we all need. Allah Azza wa Jal, He said, وَإِذَا جَاءَكَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِآيَاتِنَا. Allah is saying to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, anyone who comes to you believing in our ayat, meaning anyone who comes wanting Allah, the one who believes in the ayat of Allah, and he's coming to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why is he coming? He wants Allah. He wants the paradise. He wants mercy. He wants forgiveness. Doesn't matter what his situation is. If he comes to you with a ton of sins, if he comes to you with a life of heedlessness, if he comes to you from the club, if he comes to you from the bar, if he comes to you from wherever it is, وَإِذَا جَاءَكَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِآيَاتِنَا. And this we're learning as well. We're learning. Anyone that is in the position of a da'wah, listen to what Allah would be saying now. Anyone who comes, he wants Allah. And look at the word ja'aka. You see the word ja'aka? A similar word in Arabic that's used is atak. And then that comes in the Quran, ata amrullah. Right? But the difference is that ata, the difference between ata and ja'a, is that ata, look, it's even said easily, ata. But ja'a, it needs more effort, right? So this is, it's implied within the word. Ata is a lazy kind of coming, right? That's what ata is. It's like kind of a person is just rolling, very easy, effortless. Ja'a is a person that comes with effort and passion and eagerness. He wants Allah. He wants the afterlife. He's looking for something to clean him from his sin. He needs a solution now. وَإِذَا جَاءَكَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِآيَاتِنَا. If these people come and they believe in Allah, but they've been far away from Allah, you know what Allah wants them to hear? The first information Allah wants them to know? فَقُلْ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. Say to them, peace be upon you. This is Allah saying to the one who's rushing and coming, Allah's first thing he tells him is, Salamun alaykum. Peace be upon you. Safety for you. Security for you. Salamun alaykum means don't worry about your sins. Don't worry about your heedlessness. The main condition is you come. You need to want Allah Azza wa Jal. You need to go down that path and travel in that direction. فَقُلْ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. How exciting is this? When you know this is Allah's message to the one who comes wanting Allah, no matter what his situation was, Allah is greeting him. Not me or you. Allah is greeting him. You know, now if someone wants to come and repent, I don't want to say assalamu alaikum, brother. I say to him, listen, Allah is sending his salam to you right this moment. Because it is, it's salamullah alayh. فَقُلْ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. And then in addition to this, Allah wants him to know something. كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ. Allah has obligated mercy upon himself. That's the second piece of information Allah wants you to know. Why tell you something? Yani don't sit here and think, oh, wallah, hada, he's talking about people that are in clubs tonight. Look, now us. We need Allah's mercy more than anyone else. Forget everyone. Think of yourself. Mantahi, you're in the masjid. And you're doing a majority of your i'tikaf, right? I'tikaf. Why? Why are you here? Yes, why? 3 o'clock, we need to start praying. 3 o'clock, salat, i'tikaf for the last 7 nights, food, smell, you keep up with all this stuff, no problems. Why? Don't you want Allah's mercy? Nasa, when you entered the masjid, what did you say when you entered the masjid? Allahumma iftah li abwaba rahmatik, because you want Allah's rahmah. Allah's mercy is here, it's found in here. Kataba rabbukum ala nafsihi rahmah. Think about this ayah for yourself. You're the one that needs the mercy. You. Each and every single one of us. We're in the month of mercy. We want Allah's mercy. Allah's mercy is that He accepts whatever little deeds we have. Allah's mercy is that He forgives us all our shortcomings and flaws and whatever it is that we have. كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ Allah has obligated this upon Himself. And nothing is obligatory upon Allah except what He makes obligatory upon Himself. وَعَدَ اللَّهِ This is Allah's promise. لَا يُخْلِفُ اللَّهُ الْمِعَادِ Allah doesn't break His promise. But how good is this? Wallahi, this is an exciting message in the Qur'an, in Surah Al-An'am. And to know that Surah Al-An'am came down, 70,000 angels carried it when it came down. There's mercy in this surah. There is absolute joy and every reason to celebrate in this surah, especially this ayah here. كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ And I tell you something, what we're learning, he's the attitude of a da'i. The attitude of a da'i and those who want to work in this field of preaching and calling others to Allah. Learn from what Allah teaches us. Your approach with people, no matter how they are, what condition they're in, your approach is Salamun alaykum, kataba rabbukum ala nafsihi rahmah. Your approach is that you want them to know things that are positive about Allah Azza wa Jalla and His mercy and His forgiveness. That's what you need to learn. Look, it even happened with the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahaba were once sitting and they were talking. Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered upon them. And he said to them, لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ مَا أَعْلَمْ لَضَحِكْتُمْ قَلِيلًا وَلَبَكَيْتُمْ كَثِيرًا He said to them, if you know what I know, you would have cried a lot and you would have laughed a little. فَتَغَيَّرَ الْقَوْمِ Their mood changed. Imagine the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entering. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he enters upon you. And he says to you, people, if you only knew what I knew, you would have laughed a little, you would have cried a lot, and he walked off. By then, you're going to stay in the same mood you were in? You'd be worried, depressed, sad. What happened? Then Jibreel was sent by Allah to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Hadith sahih. He said to him, Jibreel said to him, that Allah says, لِمَ تُقَنِّطُ عِبَادِي Why are you despairing my servants? Why are you despairing my servants? Because what he said came across as harsh. So the Sahaba's mood changed. So then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked back out the very moment and saw those companions. And he said to them, Saddidu wa qaribu wa abshiru. Saddidu, meaning do of the good deeds as much as you can. Wa qaribu, and follow my sunnah as best as you can. Wa abshiru, and good news, congratulations to all of you who enter the paradise. Huh, that's a message that's uplifting. The mood came back to As-Sahaba and they were happy. Yani shuf, when I tell you, Allah says, كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ Meaning find every ayah in the Qur'an that will restore some life and happiness and joy in the people. This is the path of a da'i. This is the path of prophets. كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ My brothers and sisters in Islam, wallah, the worst among us is the one who's given up on the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the best among us are those who are looking forward to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. والسلف رحمهم الله, look how smart they were. شوف لأن العلماء, Allah praised the ulama in the Quran because they're smart. You see the ulama what they used to do when they used to think about Allah's mercy? One of them, يعني, look what he did. He wants Allah's mercy. And he's desperate. He doesn't want to leave this worldly life except that he is convinced Allah will have mercy upon him. So he goes through the Quran. He comes across the first ayah. Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَمَنْ تَابَ مِنْ بَعْدِ ظُلْمِهِ وَأَصْلَحَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَتُوبُ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ Whoever repents after he has wronged himself and then he does righteous actions and he rectifies his state through the good deeds, then Allah is Ghafoorun Rahim. Allah is forgiving, merciful. So he says, oh Allah, I'm that person that has done the wrong and I've repented after it. So Allah, grant me your mercy. Then he says, and if I'm not worthy of your mercy through that ayah, then he says, then oh Allah, you have said, وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا You have said that you grant your mercy to the believers. And oh Allah, I'm a believer. So bestow your mercy upon me. Then he says, but if I'm not worthy of your mercy because I don't qualify from this ayah, then oh Allah, you have said, wa rahmati wasi'at kull shay. My mercy has encompassed all things. Wa ana shay, and I'm something. So grant me your mercy because I am something. Then he said, and if I do not qualify for your mercy, because I'm not worthy of it and I'm not from this shay that deserves it or worthy of it, then this is a calamity and a disaster. And you, O Allah, said, الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَّبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ. You said that whoever falls into a calamity, and what worse of a calamity than the fact that you're not included in shay' for Allah's mercy. Indeed, it's a calamity. And you said, whoever falls in a calamity and says, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, then such people, upon them are abundant prayers of Allah and mercy. So grant me mercy from that door. People in the past, they knew how to work with this Quran. This is the scholar. This is al-alim. This is a person who understands that the Quran is more than just I have to read so that I can retain the ayat in my mind and not forget them. It's more than this. This is the month of Ramadan. كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ. Very quickly we finish. أَنَّهُ مَنْ عَمِلَ مِنْكُمْ سُوءًا بِجَهَالَةٍ ثُمَّ تَابَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. How does this rahmah of Allah manifest? How do I benefit from this mercy? Allah says, now he says, whoever, مَنْ عَمِلَ سُوءًا بِجَهَالَةٍ, anyone who does an evil deed out of ignorance. What does it mean to do a deed out of ignorance? Does that mean you knew about the sin? Did you knew about it being a sin or not? Okay, listen. Al-ulama rahimahumullah said, anyone who commits a sin knowingly is ignorant. Anyone who commits a sin knowingly is ignorant. What's he ignorant about? He's ignorant about the greatness of Allah. His ignorance about the greatness and the power and the might of Allah. Otherwise, if you knew the greatness of Allah, no one would sin. So even if you knew it's a sin from a fiqh perspective and you committed it, أنت جاهل, you're still ignorant. Because if you do a sin and you actually didn't know it's a sin in Islam, that's not a sin. You don't have to repent from anything because you did not score any bad deed. You understand? For this ayah is speaking about a person who committed an evil sin, su'an, and he knew it was a sin. ثُمَّ تَابَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ. See the word ثُمَّ is Allah's mercy within the ayah. ثُمَّ meaning, and a while later. Yani Allah gave him life, extended his life. Then he made a decision later on in life. تَابَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ. He repented. He did this su'an a million times and he repented once. It's good enough. ثُمَّ تَابَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ وَأَصْلَحَ. And he followed his tawbah with righteous actions. Aslah meaning he rectified himself. You know the good deeds in Arabic, in the Quran are called what? إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا. Oh, they're called صالحات. صالحات comes from the word صَلَّحَ, which means to fix something. If a car is wrecked, musallah, you fix it. Why? Because the righteous deeds, they fix your affairs. They fix the broken soul, the broken heart, the damaged things that are inside you. They fix them. Our salat, our prayers, our fasting, our zakat, all the good deeds that we know, they fix us. So they're called salihat. Taba min ba'dihi thumma aslah. So he repents. And then he does the righteous deeds so that he can rectify his state before he meets Allah Azza wa Jal. فَأَنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. For that person, Allah is most forgiving and Rahim, bestows His mercy upon him. What a beautiful message. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to bestow His mercy upon us all. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grant us forgiveness of all our sins before we end Ramadan. And we ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to free our necks from the fire. And we ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala that he grant us the highest levels in the paradise مع النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.